Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Geeky Natural Mom Podcast. Hope you guys are doing good. Hope you guys are doing wonderful. Hope you guys are amazing. All right, so you already know I gotta start the show off by showing gratitude. Thank you so much for the love and support. Thank you so much for your wonderful energy. And if you're new, thank you for listening. There are links in the episode description to how to support this podcast. So if you love what you hear, please click that link and support creatives. Thank you. All right. This episode is brought to you by the letter P. It's brought to you by the letter P is impatience, and I'll tell you why in a second. I got a question recently about how my life has changed as a parent of children with autism, and I felt like this would be a good episode, so here we are. So I would say the main thing that I've learned is a different perspective. The main thing I've learned, you know, being on this journey with my kids is a different perspective because of where I was before my children got diagnosed and where we are now, where I am now, and seeing things differently kind of in their eyes because they see things differently. So I have to see things the way that they see things. So it's a lot of different perspectives, you know, in my life, and made me search within myself to understand things and to be more patient and all those things. I'm going to break it down throughout this episode, but I just wanted to put that out there first, that it made me have a different perspective on my life, and it's been awesome. It gets really, really rough, and there's a lot of things I still don't understand, but I'm making it work, and I'm so proud of where I am now, just as being Yasmeen, just, you know, being an autism parent. I'm just so proud. It's some things I still need to tweak, but I'm really proud of progress I'm making, proud of where I am as a person, as a mother. I'm just very proud of myself, and I need to take time to say that. I don't like really pat myself on the back that much, but I'm patting myself on the back to seeing where I am now, even with the diagnosis, just where I am. Patience. I'm not gonna say I've always been a person of patience, but you know, you have to have patience. And with my kids, a lot of things are nonverbal, like their cues. In Maya's case, emotions. Like, I really, you know, I spoke about this before, that Maya is not big on kind of expressing how she feels. And like, that's very challenging because she's 11, and she's kind of a pre-teenager now. And I know, you know, as experience, you know, being a teenager, that it's going to get worse, that she's not going to be able to communicate and say how she feels. And then she's in this place where she kind of breaks down and can't really handle situations. And that's the part that kind of, like, I feel sad, and it also frustrates me because, like, it's very hard to get through to Maya sometimes and, like, actually to see that she's actually understanding. Because if you tell her and you try to show her, she has to make sure she's comprehending what you're saying and understand what you're saying, or she'll just be like, okay, and have no idea what you're talking about. So I I'm still trying to like figure it out, and I'm still trying to get to understand her, like her world, her personality, because like Maya is like the most quirkiest kid, and that's like probably the most thing that I love about her, because she's so quirky and she has these little quirks, but it's so much more to her. It's so much more to what she sees, because I see it. I see the potential she has. I see because she says it a lot, like, I don't feel confident, and I don't, you know, the things that you see, Mom, I don't see them. So it's consistently trying to show her and be open to her. And since, like I said, it gets really hard because like she can be so standoffish and don't really, she don't want to hear it. Or like she'll like try to like give me sass or like kind of be disrespectful in a way. And it's been really difficult, and I'm trying to like find common ground to us being on the same page and actually understanding each other. And I want us to understand each other, because that's how you build a bond with your child. And I had to like really look at myself and see how my relationship with my mother was. You know, my mother wasn't really opened. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that my mother wasn't great, but my mother wasn't really open. Like, she didn't really talk about like the things that I like, the important things, I feel like, with emotions. I just felt like I literally had to like go to someone else, and I really wanted to go to my mom and talk about things, but it's just like it was just so hard. So I don't want to be that parent where my daughter or my sons can't come to me for anything, or I don't want to be that way. So I'm consistently trying to be vulnerable and show my emotions to my children, so they know that it's okay to show emotions, and it's okay to be vulnerable and talk about things and communicate with things, you know. And right now, you know, my sons are not at that point where they can do that, but my daughter is, and I can try to build that with her to show her that, you know, this is the healthy way to communicate, and this is the healthy way for you to find ways to calm down or find ways to help, you know, when you're having a sensory overload, or, you know, you feel so overwhelmed. So I'm constantly trying to find ways to help and find ways to make, you know, our household between her and I better, so we can be on a better accord with our relationship. So like I pray about it constantly. I hope that she sees it. I feel like she sees it. I just want like the best. I think we all want the best for our kids, and that's so like a cliche, like, yes, we do want the best for our kids, but I want my children to have healthy, to be in healthy relationships, as far as like with me, you know, with, you know, their dads, and with other people that they come across, that they know how to, you know, they're able to communicate and they're able to know situations and be alert. So like I want to have the things that I didn't have when I was younger. I want them to have it. I want them to know that I want to be open and honest. I want to be all ears about anything, everything, and open them to new experience, things that I never had. And it don't even have to be like a monetary sense, like doing activities at home, or doing, like I said, doing things that I've never done before. Like, that's the type of parent I want to be. I don't want to be like in that the parents that, you know, we had, and we're grateful for our parents, but I don't want my children's mental health to be affected by generational things. That's why I'm so big on trying to break generational curses, so we can actually build things for our children. Even with like financial things and building things. Like, you don't have to be, you know, what society wants you to be. You can be whatever you want to be and be successful. And now, you know, Maya's coming at that age where she's thinking about what she wants to do when she gets older, and she changes it probably every 5 minutes. That was totally me when I was younger. But I know when I was younger, I wanted to be a teacher. Like, that was like my childhood thing, was like my career, dream career, was to be a teacher, and then it was to be a nurse. But like, we really don't know until we figure out what's good for us, like what we can do, you know? So I just want, like I said, healthy, you know, healthy relationships, be mentally stable, be mentally, and I know they're going to go through things in their life that's going to, you know, change them, and, you know, that they're going to go through things. That's not what I'm saying, but I want to build a foundation of something different when it comes to my children, so when they have children, they can build a different foundation for their children, and, you know, and it keeps going on and on. You understand what I'm saying? So we just have to break that cycle, because it's not benefit us. We have to communicate with our kids. We have to see what's going on in our kids' schools. We have to see what's going on with our children. And that's why we hear these things in the media about children, because we're not listening to our children. We're so stuck being in that same general universe of doing the things that our parents did, and we are not our parents. We can be a reflection of our parents, but we are not our parents. And, you know, I told myself when I first had Maya, I said that I didn't want to be like my mom. And then, like, now fast forward 3 kids later, I told myself I want to do better for my mom. And what that means is that my mom did the best she could. But now, with me having children, I can do the best. I can do better. I can do better, not as she did, but I can do better to help my children be, you know, be able-bodied adults and able to function in this world and able to, you know, have better values. And I feel like now there's no family values anymore. And even if we don't have our, you know, the people that were like the village that we had, we can be that village in our families. We can be that village. We don't need, even if we don't have a lot of people, we can be that village. We can start that village again, even with the little bit of people we do have in our lives. We can start that village again. And we can build something with our children. And going back to what I said before, that we need to, you know, have values in actually knowing how to do things. And that seems so simple, but some kids don't know. It's not that way anymore. It's just pretty much everything is just standard, if that makes sense. It's just standard, and we're not really taking accountability of how our decisions and how our past transgressions affect our children. And I have to be responsible for that. I have to do that. That's my part for me, for my family. As the same for other caregivers or whatever. Like, you have to take accountable for your actions, and you have to be accountable for the things that you do. So accountability is a big thing, and a lot of frustration too. Like, man, when I tell you, like, it's so frustrating, like, not knowing what your kid wants, not knowing what your kid needs, not knowing what's going to happen as far as, like, an evaluation, an IEP, IFSP, we already talked about what those mean, not knowing what the district is going to do, the school district, not knowing what's going to happen, you know, when they go to school, and what's, you know, you just, it's so much you have to think about, so much that I have to think about. I had a conversation earlier about, you know, all my kids are going to school now. I mean, let me rephrase that. My daughter's already in school, but my son Thomas school is the school part-time. So now he's transitioning into school full-time. And then my three-year-old is going to start preschool. So, almost three, I should say. He's almost three. is starting preschool. So it's a lot of transitions in that. And really knowing my kids' strengths and weaknesses, which is that's also a big thing, like knowing your child's strengths and weaknesses, like you can work on the weaknesses and things like that, and knowing, like, to kind of help the teacher, because, like, people think that, you know, teachers are mind readers, and they're not. But it kind of helps, you know, transition the kids better once they start something new. So it's definitely been it's a lot of frustration. It's frustration, like, going out in public, and the meltdowns can be epic, and then, like, people are trying to tell you about your child, and then, it's so much, and it's so much negativity, you know, with, you know, people with, yo, and it's crazy that it has to be negativity towards people that have special needs and, you know, different types of disorders and disabilities. Like, why are people so cruel? Why are people so, and it's not everybody, but, like, people can be so mean and so cruel to people that are unique and different. Because we have this perception of everybody's supposed to be perfect and or average or the same, and we don't even celebrate our diversity, our uniqueness, what makes us different. And I always tell Maya that never, and I probably said this in the episode before, but never think that your diagnosis is your burden. You celebrate that, and you make something great with your diagnosis. Never let nobody let you feel down about it, because you are who you are. And that's what people fail to realize. We need to celebrate that and not be cruel or degrade that, because our children are now doing this, and it's so much bullying and so much cruel. Oh my gosh, it's so much, and it's really sad to see. Even with adults, like, oh, it's so horrible, and I be feeling so sad, and I feel so helpless, because, like, you be really wanting to, you know, do things and have people kind of understand and, you know, have empathy of others and, you know, their situations. So I just be still feeling so conflicted. I feel like I'm about to cry now because I'm thinking about it. And knowing that, you know, Maya, like, had a really rough school year recently, and trying to do all you can. And sometimes you feel helpless. And you know, that made me now, knowing these things and living these things, I wanted to do more. I wanted to use my voice to be an advocate, not just for my kids, but other people, to use my resources for other people, to help people any way that I can. You know, even though I'm one person, I feel like I can do something that can change, make a small change. And I just want to do more. Like, I want to bring more awareness to autism. I want to bring more awareness of how people's words and people's things that they do hurt people, and celebrate our differences and celebrate the things that make us great. And it's all these great organizations that are doing it, but it's not enough. And we need more of it. We need more people to use their lights, use their voice to help one another. Not even just for people with autism, just in general. We need that. We need that so much, and we lack that. And I see the steps that are taking, like, that are happening, like, within my state, within other states, within the government, within, like, all these great organizations. For example, the football team, I'm in the Philly area, so the Philadelphia Eagles, they made a sensory room for people with autism and other disabilities. That's awesome. And I'm just like, and I'm so grateful for, like, the people around me. They're always showing me things. Like, they'll send me things that try to help me and that, you know, think that I would benefit from. And I appreciate that you even thought about me, that you thought about my kids. Like, that means the freaking world to me. Like, because you don't know how much that would help. That would help someone else, you know? And I think we should do that more as people. It's not done enough. And we need to do it more. This is what, you know, our ancestors and the people before us did, so we can get by and live in society. And we need to do that now. We need to bring that part of humanity back. And I'm forever grateful for that. I just feel like with this platform that I have now, I feel like I can make some type of something, do more. Even in the community that I live in, I feel like it's so much work to be done, but the, like, people just need to believe in it, believe in what you're doing. Like, I believe in what I'm doing so much because I live it. So I'm passionate about the things that I want to do. I love to serve. I love to help people when I can. And I've been grateful enough to have a resourceful mind that I can share something with somebody that can help someone. So I'm just like, just thinking about it, like, just getting so happy. Like, I'm so happy doing this podcast, hoping that I can help someone. I'm so happy to bring awareness to people. That brings me joy. That brings me happiness. And I hope in the future, not even I hope, in the future, it will be bigger things that I can do for my community, that I can do for my city, that I can do for my state, whatever God and the universe wants to take me. I want to do it. I want to have some type of change, positive change, for not just my kids, but for other kids, for other people, and not just for autism, just for the other things that I'm passionate about. I will do more. I won't stop. I will do more. And I hope people with the same heart that might feel scared doing it, that You just do it. Just do it because you're passionate about it and you just love it. So if you want to do more, do more. And I want to do more. I want to do more. And if anybody has any resources for me or anything, please feel free to email me, DM me, whatever. And we can have conversations about it. And with that, it gave me something to believe in. Something to believe in. I felt like I was missing something my whole life. And then these kids came and I believed in something. I always had like some type of faith and believed in myself. But now it's even greater because it's just to know that, you know, God and universe put these kids are in my life. I can believe in something. I can give them the things that I've never had. I can push for something even greater. I can have something greater. I can do something greater. Even if it's not for everyone, just in my children's life, I can do something greater. And I'm just so grateful. And I'm tearing up just like thinking about it. Like, even though those kids drive me crazy, they saved my life. And I owe everything to God and the universe for what these kids give me every day. They have the brightest smiles and they wake up so happy and just happy about life and just like the innocence that they have. Like, why would I not like want that energy? It's just so amazing. And I know that people that probably understand what I'm saying right now, because it's so amazing. It's such an amazing feeling. And I love it so much. I love it so much. And with that, I want to protect my kids too. So like, I feel like it was limits. I had to put limits on things. I had to like stop doing things because like I said, you want to protect your children. You want to protect yourself too. So I had to limit myself. Like, I used to like go out a lot, like just go out, and it's been an adjustment of like being like a stay at home mom and just being here all the time with my kids. Like, of course we go out and do things, but like my command center is home and we do like our sessions and our evaluations and everything else is at home. So it's been quite an adjustment of me just being a outgoing person, going out all the time and doing things all the time. It's been really hard because I'm so used to just going out, and I know that I can't go out certain places, and I know I can't do things with the children because it might be too much. And I have to think about that when I do things. How is this going to benefit the kids? Like, if I want to go somewhere, is it going to benefit them? Are they going to be okay? Is it going to be a safe environment? I had to limit the people around me. And it wasn't really a lot of people around me, but I had to limit. Like, I had to make sure that there are people in my corner that are generally there for my kids. Like, they love my kids like they're like that their own. They really care for my kids and really want my kids, like want the best for my kids. Because anybody can snake their way through being in your life and they're not even genuine. And it's a sad situation. Yeah, it's really, really sad, and it's like, who can you trust at times when you feel like people want to be in your corner and support you. Sometimes people try to exploit you, blackmail you, whatever. Like, it's just so much. And I just feel limits. Like, it's so much limits. Like, it's limits with, like, where I am now as far as, like, my mental health. Because, like, things get really frustrating and I get overwhelmed and I get stressed out. And, like, sometimes, like, I don't have a minute to actually take, like, just to take and just relax. Even though I'm trying to push myself to do that, it's hard because, you know, kids are following you around. And then my kids, like, they have to grab my hand, which I really don't like. And I can't, you know, I can't help that that's what they do to get my attention or, you know, ask for something. But it's really hard. Like, I don't have a moment for myself sometimes. Not even sometimes, like, majority of the time, like, I don't have a moment to myself. I don't have a moment to, like, actually breathe. And I just feel like I need to, like, I don't want to go above my limits. Just, like, mentally, I have to really take time to take a break or need to, like, kind of calm down and everything, because if I don't, like, it's just, like, so much of an overload for me. So, and so far so good. I mean I've been, like, doing it within, like, the past couple weeks, trying different things to make sure that my mental health is intact, making sure that I'm able to kind of process things and kind of just when stuff gets really overwhelming, I take time to really recuperate and rest and actually breathe. So yeah, it's just so much. And then I always think about like when I was a child, because I really think honestly that I may have had some form of Asperger's or autism and didn't even know it, because, like, when I was younger, like, I never heard of autism. I never knew nothing about autism. Like, we knew about ADHD or ADD, but, like, autism wasn't, like, you know, how it is now. It wasn't such a big thing. And, you know, I, you know, may have autism and never was diagnosed. And, like, I really want to look into that, because it seems like with my kids, it's like it's genetic. Because with my, you know, with different sides of, you know, the families, there's some type of something as far as, like, autism and other things. And I just really think about that. I just feel like maybe I might have had it, because I, like, think about the mannerisms I had. I think about the behaviors I had. I think about, like, how I process things. Like, I think about that all the time. So I really want to look into, like, into that more to see if I most likely have autism, because I don't know. But, and I just learned to cope with it. And I think that's, like, a real reality, that people probably had some form of autism or Asperger's or any other type of, like, developmental disability, but we learned to cope with it. And it wasn't easy, but, you know, we never knew, because, you know, it really wasn't taken seriously as it is now. So it's just really hard to pinpoint. And it's really annoying that people just say, oh, well, this just came out of nowhere. No, people weren't actually researched. We didn't have the proper technology then. We didn't have, like, the knowledge we have now. And again, we didn't know. We did not know it was so much, you know, like, so much to autism and so much to Asperger's and everything else. Like, it was so much that we didn't really know. So, you know, as, you know, people now, since we know what we know now, we can pinpoint and, you know, figure out signs and know the signs and know what to do, you know, if you do have a diagnosis or if your child has a diagnosis or whatever, for anything, because again, you never know. So like I said, I question that all the time. That's something I really want to look into, because I definitely feel that way, and I'm going to. And if it's, you know, if that is what it is, or it's just, you know, me being in my head, I'm going to accept it, and it's going to be awesome. You know, everything's going to be okay, because now I know that there's more, like, as far as me trying to learn, even for myself, you know, not just for my kids, but for myself. So it's, I hope that, you know, that I can, like, find the resources to look to, like, kind of pinpoint in and look and see and, like, do like an evaluation. So I'm going to definitely look into that, and I'll definitely let you guys know. So I just, that was so much. Like, I just needed to, like, breathe, because that was a lot. It really was a lot, and trying to stay like optimistic about it. Like, I try not to, like, I give my emotions, like I love giving my emotions and being emotional about things, but it's just like sometimes I just want to keep it together. So it's an understanding of, you know, what I'm trying to say, if that makes sense. I've just been that way. I'm just trying to, like, always been the person to just keep it together. But I know I'm able to, like, talk about my emotions and talk about how I feel. But it's just something that I'm working on. It really is. It really is. Like, and that's another thing, you know, what I was talking about earlier about being vulnerable and actually showing emotions. Because now I'm like a crier. Like, I never really was a crier. Now I'm just like a crier and just cry. You know, I need to do it more, but I'm slowly, like, breaking down the barriers of my vulnerability and my emotions. So it's just something I've been working on, and I'm really proud of myself. I really am. Structure. We can just lead on to structure and having structure and routines, because as you guys know or may not know, that like a actual, like, continuous routine is required for people with autism. You know, they don't adapt well to change, and you have to stay consistent in what you do, because if you don't, like, things go crazy. And I talked about this on the episode before, like, you have to stay consistent, and you have to have something. It can be like small increments of routine, but it has to be some type of structure, and it has to be continuous. How I started, I try to figure out, like, what will work best, and I was, like, watching all these YouTubers and listening to all these, like, podcasts and all these things, and I realized that, you know, my routine is going to work best for myself and my family, and you kind of have to play around with it, you know, to make it work. Because, like, you may think something works, and then it really doesn't. So, like, you're consistently trying to, like, put puzzle pieces together, like, as far as the routines go. Because I know for me, like, as soon as I wake up, I know the kids are going to wake up. So then I need to get up and get what I need to do. And if Austin wakes up before me, he's going to want milk. So I have to get up and get his milk for him. So like, just like pretty much paying attention to your child's cues, just paying attention and observing, like, your child helps your routine better as a whole, and knowing their likes, their dislikes, their strengths, their weaknesses, and, you know, the things that you can work on. And when you're working on things, just know that it's a process. Like, it's not gonna be overnight. So that's what I had to realize when I first found out, you know, their diagnosis. And when I found out, I told you before, I wasn't really as knowledgeable. And then finding out I didn't get an informed, like, session of what it is, like, what autism is, and, you know, what to look for, like, you know, as far as that. So I really had to figure out things on my own and really see, research, and read, and you know, with these things, like, it's like a form of opinion a lot. And I'm starting to see this, like, more and more as I'm starting to, like, read and research and, like, follow certain blogs or whatever, that people's opinions on how they perceive autism sometimes can be somewhat altered or won't be as knowledgeable. And people think that autism can be cured, and autism cannot be cured. It's not like, you know, it's a common cold and you can get rid of it. That's impossible. But it's more so, like, again, me saying people cope with it, especially if they are high functioning or if they have mild autism Asperger's. Like, they learn to cope with their diagnosis and things. And I have to pay attention to, you know, what's real, what's altered, what's like just an opinion, and like what's really accurate and factual. Because it's a lot of myths out from what I'm seeing. It's a lot of myths out there. It's a lot of negativity towards the disorder, which is, like, so unfortunate. And you really have to, this is the part where you have to be resourceful and really know what's important and what's not important, and what's just complete utter bullshit. So the boys got their haircut recently. Oh man. And let me tell you about that experience. Like, it was pretty, like, it wasn't what I thought in my head what it was gonna be. Like, yes, Thomas kind of, like, he sat there, but he kind of freaked out a little bit, but not, like, to a point where he's, like, he was hysterical. But with Austin, he kind of, like, screamed and cried, but he sat there while they were cutting his hair. And the woman was kind of, like, trying to tell me, like, maybe, because I was trying to explain to her, you know, that my boys were have autism. She kept, like, trying to talk to them and, like, making them trying to do things. And I'm like, ma'am, you can't. And it was kind of, like, frustrating me. And I'm like, ma'am, like, you can't do that. Like, you can't just, like, try to make them talk if they are nonverbal, or, you know, limit verbally. And I was getting so frustrated, because it's like, when somebody already has an opinion or have heard hearsay of what an opinion of something is, they kind of run with it and not really sit and listen to, like, somebody that's actually living it or actually been in that situation. So it's kind of hard to, like, kind of tell people, like, you know, listen, my son can't really talk, but, you know, if you try to do this way or do this that way, he'll open up. But, like, she was just, like, kind of just, like, stuck there. And I was just like, you know what, let's just finish so we can go, you know, on our way. And, you know, I you know, I wasn't like mad, you know, she was nice and everything, but it's just like, that's why awareness needs to be, you know, very vocal, and it, like, people need to be aware because of how opinions and perceptions of like one disorder can be. And that's not just for autism, just for anything. Like, it's just crazy, like, what I've seen and what I've heard from people. You can't really understand it if you haven't lived it, or you know someone that lived it. And even if you know someone that actually lived it, you know, it's still a different experience because, you know, it's a spectrum. So it's so broad. Everybody's experience is going to be different, and everybody is unique. And I'm going to say this again, please stop putting, you know, people with autism in a box, because it's so broad. The spectrum is so broad, and you can't, you know, try to, you know, have somebody's experience, like, compare experiences when the experiences are not the same. In certain situations it is, but like, don't put everyone in the box. And I just, like, I'm not really trying to think about the future, because like, we have no control of the future, and we don't know what's gonna happen in the future. So even though, like, you know, like with these evaluations with these doctors and psychologists and things, like, they may have some, you know, they may say something that might be average, but, you know, your kid is your kid, or your loved one is your loved one. So, you know, who knows what happens, you know, in my children's future. And it's so many wonderful people of autism doing autism things. I've been recording all day, sorry. What I was trying to say is, so many people with autism doing amazing things. Like, it's just wonderful to see. It's just wonderful to see all the things that make people with autism great. And they're breaking barriers, and they're making history. And when people say that they couldn't, they did. And they had a strong support system, you know, with them. So it's just great. And I love seeing it, and I love hearing stories about it. And my children, you know, will do those same things. They're going to do great things when they get older. I believe that. I believe it so much. And, like, pretty much going off of what I said previously, you know, being an autism parent taught me how to be human. Like, it's like, I was so, like I said earlier, like, so had my guard up, and so just like hard and rugged, because like, I had to be that way, and I had to be stern and tough, because, you know, the different situations in my life, I had to, you know, do those things. And it just made me kind of, I don't want to say cold-hearted, but it kind of made me standoffish towards a lot of things, and I blamed people, and I just not really looking at stuff from, like, not having the bigger picture, not seeing things for what they are. And I had to stop beating myself up about that. So actually, like, my heart growing 3 sizes, like, I always had a big heart, but I feel like when I lost my mom, my heart just felt empty. And like, my big heart was still there, but it was just like, like nothing has no meaning and nothing has, you know, I hope that makes sense. But, you know, with my children, I feel whole. I feel the emptiness that I've been feeling for so long. I feel so full, like my heart feels so full. And, you know, now I'm meeting, you know, more people with autism. I'm, you know, hearing people's stories, meeting more people, and it just makes my heart full again. Like, I feel rejuvenated as a person. I feel just at a place where, like, just a place of gratitude and just a place of great expectations, because you want so much for your children, and you're willing to fight for so much for your children. And I just don't feel like a robot or existing. I don't feel like I'm existing anymore. Like, I feel like I am serving a deeper purpose with my children and with this platform. It just feels so good to actually not feel alone and not feel broken, because I felt broken for so long. And I'm again tearing up, like, just thinking about it. Like, you think that, like, children, you know, they're just here and, like, how people perceive children, but, yo, kids are amazing. Like, the ideas that they have, the energy they have, sometimes it's tiring, but the energy that they have, the love that they have, like, it's like you're born with that. Like, that's, like, their personalities, they just have it. And we don't even see, because we're, like, again, we're so consumed, we don't even see, like, the greatness that children have. Like, when Whitney Houston said, "I believe the children are our future," like, because they are. They strive off of us being great and us being well and us being, you know, at our best potential, to let them be the future and not, you know, fail. I'm not gonna say fail them, but, you know, degrade them and make them feel low, because that's how our parents made us feel. It is so great. And I'm not perfect in any old way. I get frustrated, I get mad, I yell, and all that stuff. You know, people have this perception that you're supposed to, like, keep everything together, and I can't at times, and I try. But if we get back up and we do it again, because it's for the love of our kids, and we want better for our kids. And that's where I'm at, you know, in my life. I just want better for my kids, not even for myself. It's not about me no more. It's about them and all the great things that they can do. Like, Maya is so creative with art, with jewelry, you know, with cooking. She loves to cook. She loves to dance. Thomas is so good at, like, technology and cars and things. And Austin just loves to dance and jump and just, like, the most upbeat, happiest kid. Like, Austin is the most happiest kid you can ever meet. Like, if you had a bad day, that kid will, like, literally look at you and smile. Like, he has so much good energy, and like, that energy rubs off on everyone. Like, everyone that meets him, they love him, because that's Austin. That's just Austin. And he does that for everyone, for his brother and sister, for me. Like, it's just so great to see, you know. All my kids are, like, all individuals, and all have things that make them great. And they're going to go out in the world and show others how those things can make them great. And I couldn't be prouder. And I always tell my kids that I'm proud of them and I'm so thankful for, you know, who they are, you know? You just have to. And I think another thing, like with me, I don't like baby them. I do not do that. I don't baby them. I don't treat them kind of like a charity case, because even though they do have a diagnosis, they have to, you know, be out in the real world when they get older. They have to kind of process the outside. And I just, you know, try to treat them like if they were the average kid, as far as like, not much, I would say, like, give them special treatment, just more so having an understanding of being a well-rounded person. So, like, I'm not like, none of that. I'll be just like, hey, don't do that. That's not, you know, and I feel like I hate when people do that, and I get it. I get why they're doing it, but it's just like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to treat my child any more special than another child, because like I don't want them to feel like they take advantage of people when they do that. So I want them to, you know, kind of be well-rounded and understand, even though they might not understand it now, but in the future, to understand that it takes hard work and it takes dedication and faith and things like that to do the things that they need to do, even though they have this diagnosis. I hope that made sense. But yeah, I'm just so grateful to be an autism parent. Shout out to all the autism parents and autism caregivers. You guys are amazing. You rock. If you are a single parent doing it alone, I am with you. I love you. I'm giving you big hugs. For the people that just found out and got a diagnosis, I'm with you. I'm here. I love you. It's going to be a journey, but the journey is well worth it. And we're in this together. We are autism strong. And just all the love and all the hugs, guys. I thank you for listening to this episode. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me, DM me on Instagram or whatever. I just appreciate the love, guys. Thank you so much. Again, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you next time. Peace and love. And remember, positivity is the best policy. Bye, guys.